Amazing grace. We need that this morning, right?
Amen.
Every morning.
Well, I got to be careful what I ask for, because I remember saying one time at a council meeting that I would really like it if I could preach more in the middle of the sanctuary. I didn't want the air conditioner to go out to try that, you know, but here I am. Close and way back there. And Art, can you hear me now? Which always is, can you hear me now? Is it okay to sound, by the way? Because I've had some... Well, today I'm going to talk on a section of Scripture. I could not find one pastor who ever wrote it on this text. I couldn't find one. And surely somebody preached on this before. Well, and it should be a challenge to try to find out, well, how can I make application for our lives? Because that's the whole thing. It's not just, what does it do for you in your life, right? How can it relate to your life? Is it... I'll try to make it quick and cool. Hopefully I'm cool. Here we go. Because we're looking at 2 Corinthians verse by verse. So you never know what you're going to get. You're going to get like fourth, right, box of chocolate. You just never know. And this text is interesting. But actually it has some points that relate to our lives. And the more I studied it, Pastor, you always find something that you can use in your life. And hopefully you can use in your life. So is taking care of... if you know, I'm a sports fan, and recently there have been cuts. NFL teams have made their cuts about a week ago, and it could be a challenging time. And there's a documentary that talks about all the stress some of the players go through, worrying whether or not they're going to make it, and their family members wondering if they're going to have to move again or if they can stay where they are, and all this kind of stuff. And they almost always, the commentators, sports announcers, say, well, you know, it's just business, it's not personal. And maybe you've heard that in your job. It's just business, it's not personal. Like, well, sometimes it is personal if it's true, right? If it's your livelihood, if it's your job, it is personal. Very personal, right? Now, corporations sometimes get so corporate. I've been talking about that some of our council members, that quotas of productivity and efficiency and time study management on and on can go to the point, if you're an employee, you feel like, you really care about me? Even more, what about good quality care? Has it gone out the window? So taking care of business can be a bad thing, but also can be a good thing. When I got my degree in business administration, we studied various corporations and talked about how some would reinvent themselves and others were real thriving and others were... And what is the difference between the two? And a lot of times it came to one simple question, the top management, and sometimes they can be out to lunch, right? Not really relating to... asking the question, why are we here? What business are we really in? Are we really here for? Because you can get why we're here in the first place. So sometimes it can be good for corporation and for a company to remember, take care of their employees, take care of their customers, right? Instead of all the bureaucracy and all the red, the crazy, and customers too. And I don't know if my mic still gets cutting in and out. Is it cutting in and out? Yeah, oh boy. Not ready. Say so. You can't hear me. Daryl, you're right. Go back here in the middle. Maybe I'll walk around. All right. Where was I? Oh,
that the Scriptures preach God's word and hopefully make a difference in the lives of those around us. But take care of it now. It's too loud.
Taking care of business. Remember when Jesus was 12 years old and they went to Jerusalem, Jesus and his family went to Jerusalem, right? And all of a sudden they left Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph and the family, and they leave and they go, uh-oh, where's Jesus? We can't find him. That's not a good thing where you're entrusted to look out for the Son of God and you lose the Son of God. Not a good thing. I don't think his father would be very happy about that, right? Reminds me, one time we had a family in St. Louis, at our church in St. Louis, and we were worshiping in a school, and they had five kids, and they left one kid at church. And we were cleaning up and finishing up. What are you doing here, Andy? So, and then the family, it took a while before they missed him. It was kind of scary. And they finally came back and they got Andy. But care. When Jesus was 12 years old, they couldn't find him. And they said, well, maybe we should go back to Jerusalem. They go back to the temple, and there's Jesus. And the parents go, where have you been, Jesus? We've been worried sick about you. And he said, the 12-year-old told his parents, didn't you know I have to be about my father's business? Right? And churches sometimes forget that, right, Pastor? What business they're in. Well, Paul here, the whole idea and this whole point, you go, what is this all about? What's Catherine saying about when she's reading, Kathy, what is she reading about this exploiting and this, that, and the other? Paul was planning his third visit to Corinth. And Corinth was sort of like the Las Vegas of that day. It was known for corruption and immorality. And Paul, there had been a church started there. And Paul had a very painful visit this city and this congregation where they had some incest going on and people going to communion drunk and all kinds of weird stuff that Paul had to correct. And he had to get in their face and say, look, you can't do this anymore. This is not the way God operates his church. We got to take care of business here spiritually, take care of God's business and do it the right way. And so Paul now is planning his third visit, and he has some trepidation about going there, and he's got some people he's hearing about through some wonderful emails or whatever on YouTube or Facebook or whatever they did in that time saying, oh, don't listen to Paul. He's a fake. He's a fraud. He's one of those pastors. He's just out for your money and your possessions. He's not in it for you. He could care less. And Paul's just the opposite of that, right? So he's defending himself in this text, and that's what he's getting at as he gets ready for this business trip. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how many of you have to go on business trips, but it's not a lot of fun to get all the preparation right, Pastor. You got all the boarding passes. You got to do this. You got to do that. And then you wonder what it's going to be like when you go to Minnesota. It's like, what kind of a reception am I going to get? What am I going to say? Hopefully I make it on time. And all the crazy things, especially since 9/11, that make travel more difficult with airfare now, right? And so you're thinking about the business trip. You're thinking what's going to happen and trying to get prepared for it. Well, Paul is sort of writing to himself as well as us here, and he's preparing himself with his business trip to go back to Corinth. Now, when we think about the church is not a business, and it's not a club. But we do take care of God's business. When you think about a purpose-driven life, as Rick Warren wrote the book, and it talks about that we have to have a purpose and a vision for our lives and for our families, right? But also for churches. Now, Rick Warren talks about a person needs to know what their vision is for their life, what their purpose is, how are they wired, what's their personality like, what are their life experiences like, what are their talents and abilities, and what spiritual gifts has God given you? So you put that all together and you find out what your purpose is. And you do what makes your heart beat faster, gives you passion, gives you vitality, and to others as well. You don't just, 9 to 5, I'm here to make the donuts, go home, go home. That's not what God wants for our life. He wants us to make a difference in the lives of people, right? Right? Okay. All right, we'll get going here. All right, so God's business. What is the business of the church? What? Yes, bring people to Christ, preach the word. Well, we don't have to debate that. And what gets me is that sometimes churches debate it and council debate, why are we here? What's the business of the church? Hello, we've already got our marching orders. We've already got what we're supposed to do. What is the purpose of the church? First of all, to go and reach those that don't know Christ. The Bible says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. There's three things right there. Basically, he's with us always so we can worship him. Worship is one of the most important things we do here is worship, right? What if we said, oh, we're just going to... We know that some people like music, so we're not going to have any worship. We're just going to have a lesson, a lecture, and that's all we're going to do. We'd be missing out a lot in Soul Recovery or wherever we go in the different worship services. Worship is vital. And what happens when we worship? We get closer to God. We experience his presence, and it changes the atmosphere. It's like if all of a sudden, magically, that air conditioner would come start pumping in cold air. It would change the atmosphere quite a bit in the temperature. Well, yeah, that would be nice. And that would be a gift from God if you could do that right now, Lord, please. Anyway. But when we come in to a hot situation, it's tense. People are upset. They're angry. And you come in
with your with God into that situation, and you help people out, and you love them, and you care for them, and it changes the atmosphere, it calms things down. You become like an oasis in the desert. So you're doing what God wants you to do. So worship is number one. Once we worship, it changes us. But also, we teach the Word of God. We don't say, well, this is what I think we should be doing here. We teach God's Word without apology. The good and the bad, the positive, the negative, of who we are, who God is, and so forth. So we worship, we talk about God's Word. We also have fellowship. One of the most moving things that happened last Sunday was with what happened to Jerry and what happened to the rest of the church when we had a medical emergency right in the middle of worship service. We didn't just say, oh, let's move on here now to page 35. We got to keep moving here. Sorry, Jerry. Let's move on here. A loving family. And when you hurt, we hurt. When something happens to one of us, it bothers us. The whole body is impacted, right? And we want to show that love and give that love to one another. Right. So fellowship is another aspect. So you got worship, teaching God's Word and preaching God's Word, fellowship. Also, it's teaching, helping one another find your role. How can you fit into the body of Christ? What is your role? What are your gifts and talents and abilities? A good coach, a good manager of a baseball team, a good football coach knows where to plug everybody in, right? He uses your strengths to the maximum for the team. And this is God's team, right? We're all supposed to be part of on the team. And are there any spectators of God's team? There shouldn't be. It shouldn't be, oh, the pastor, you do it all. It'd be like tonight saying, okay, Bruce, good luck against the Patriots. It's all about you now. You go out and do it. He wouldn't like that very well if his players started to just fall back and become complacent. They would hear from BA quite a bit. We know that for sure. And he's the motivator to try to get them to do the best for the sake of the team and not for themselves. And if they're not, they're going to hear about it. In the same way, we are all called to be part of the team, but we got too many bench warmers in the churches worldwide. There's way too many people sitting on the bench. And the coach, Jesus, says, what are you doing sitting around? Get out there. Get out in that world. Come on. Let's go. Get in the game. Because the clock is ticking. And we don't know how much time we have. Because Jesus is coming back. And he says, when I come back, I want to see my church doing God's business and taking care of business. And what's happening among most churches, Pastor? Are they preaching God's word? They're afraid to. Are we having explosive participation in churches? Like everybody just can't wait to serve? No, it's like, let Pastor do it. Oh, I'll join a committee, a board, a boring board. Oh, boy. You know, not much happens in a boring committee meeting, right? Except what should be done, but nobody's going to do it. No action plans. So we are called to take care of business, right? And so Paul, that's what Paul's getting at here, getting ready for his trip. And he says, I made a fool of myself. In other words, affirming his own ministry. But you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I'm not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I'm nothing. They were saying, his enemies, oh, this Paul, this little guy, he's not a real pastor. He's an imposter pastor. He's like these faith healers. He's just out for your money. You can't trust him. And he's saying, yes, you can trust me. So he's affirming his own ministry, and he's saying, I am an apostle. And then he says this, the things that mark an apostle, and I never heard this talked about in seminary at all, Pastor, the things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles were done among you with great perseverance. I never had one class in seminary. I did for my doctorate, but not one class in seminary about how to do signs, wonders, and miracles, right? Unfortunately, but that's part of the calling of an apostle, is one who's sent out and does it with God's power, not his own. How were you, and he says, how were you inferior to the other churches, except that I was never a burden to you? Forgive me for this wrong. He's being sarcastic here. Now I'm ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. He says, I don't want your money. I want your soul for God. I want you as a person. I care about you as a person and your soul, not about your money. And sometimes, oh, the church is just out for your money. No. God wants you, the whole you, nothing but you, everything about you, to be given to God, right? To be dedicated to Him. How dedicated are we? Are we taking care of God's business? Let me ask you a question. What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? What on earth are you doing for Jesus' sake? We go to work, yes, but what are you doing for God? What are you doing for God's business? How are you representing Jesus in your day-to-day life? And that's what Paul is going to get at when he gets ready for his trip. When he meets these people, he's going to find out, what are they doing for God? And then he talks about, he says, after all, children should not have to save it for the parents, but parents for their children. He says, I'm not out to get you. I'm giving. I'm a minister. I'm ministering to you. I'm serving you. I'm a servant. I'm not coming here to see what I can get out of you or from you at all. He says, I'm trying to suck you dry. And isn't it sad that there's some families today, as I talk as a social worker, where the parents don't save up for the children, where the children become more the adults than the parents. And it's flip-flop. The parents are in alcohol and addiction, and there is help, and some realize that they've done some things incorrectly, and at Touchstone, we work with them, and it's so amazing to see the transformation, people coming back to their purpose to be a godly mother, a godly father, a godly husband, a godly wife, and build their lives on Christ, maybe for the first time. And that's what it's all about, right? Is having lives transformed and getting back to what they are called to do and called to be. So that's what Paul's getting at here. And he says, so I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and give everything I can. If I love you more, will you love me less? Be that as it may, I have not been a burden to you. Don't you hate being a burden to others? Sometimes if we're sick, I hate if I'm sick and I have to have somebody take care of me. Oh, I hate that. Don't want anybody having to take care of me, you know? Mm-mm. And sometimes we feel like we're a burden to others. But that's part of the body of Christ. We are there for each other, aren't we? We really are. And he says this, I have not been a burden yet. Crafty fellow I am, and he's being sarcastic and facetious. I caught you by trickery. Did I exploit you through any of the men I sent you? Titus and his friend, I urged Titus to go to you, and I sent our brother with him. Titus did not exploit you, did he? Have you ever felt exploited and used by the church or pastors? Me too. We got a lot of church burnout, church victims of church abuse, right? A lot of us, right? You think about, like, we are called as pastors and leaders to represent Jesus and represent Him with love. And how sad is it that some churches, there's anything but love there, right? Anything, like, if you sit in somebody's pew, you have to look, right? Or maybe not dress the right way. We don't dress that way here. How sad is that, right? We are God's house, and we're God's family to do His business. Then he says, have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We've been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ, and everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. We are here not for ourselves, right? The purpose-driven life is that it's not about us. It's about Him doing what we can to please Him. What are you doing to please God this week? What is on your planner to do something for God? It should be the first on the list, not the last. Oh, don't have time for that, God. Sorry, I got all these meetings. But in our meetings, we can represent Jesus. In our going here, there, and yonder, we can be representing God. So think about this week. How can you take care of God's business to reach the lost and to love people to Christ? Just look for opportunities where God sends you. It may not be on a business trip. It may be just down the street. But prepare for that as you take care of God's business. But Paul's starting to get a little concerned about his trip. He's saying, oh boy, what am I going to find when I get there? He says, I'm afraid that when I come there, there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Oh, ever been in a church meeting? Factions, get groups, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. He says, oh boy, what am I going to find when I get there? And he's concerned about it. And he says, I'm afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged. Have you ever, as a parent, worried about your kids, where they're heading, right? And you're going, oh boy, and you got to have a talk. You're not sure how to say it, and you're not sure what you should say, if you should say anything, and you're nervous, and you go to the meeting, and then you go out to dinner, and it turns out great sometimes. Other times, maybe not so much. That anxiety before the trip, that's what Paul's feeling, because these are his kids. He's the pastor, right? And these are his children in the Lord, and he's concerned about them, and he's focusing on them. Wouldn't it be nice if our world would start to focus on other people, not themselves? You see the way people drive? Oh, my goodness. You're driving along, and you're in the right lane, and someone's way over here, and they want to turn like you, but they want to get ahead of you. So they're over here, and they come all the way across in front of you, in front of all this traffic, just so they can get ahead of you. Okay, so maybe they're 40 feet ahead of you. Was it worth 40 feet, really, to get that? Oh, I got to get first. I got to hear first. And you think about our lives on the journey of life. It's not just driving. But it seems like most people are in it for themselves. And I must say, 15 years ago today, that changed, but only for a while. After 9/11 in 2001, it changed. Our church, we had five worship services in 7 days that week. We were on TV. I was interviewed and all this kind of stuff in Ahwatukee. Everybody wanted to care for one another. They're making pies for the firemen and baking for police officers and thanking them. Everybody was thanking them. Everybody was going to church. But how long did that last? Not a whole long, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, right? And it was back to where it was. Why does it take a tragedy to wake us up, right? Well, God uses Paul here for this visit. But he wants to use us to take care of God's business. And so as we close, and yes, I am closing, think about what can I do for Jesus to show my thanks for what he's done for me. And so we pray, Lord God, we ask that you would send us out as you sent Paul out, that we would take care of your business, that we would not be so preoccupied with our own business and our own lives that we forget about you. Help us to make you Lord of our lives. Number one, numero uno, that you are the chief, that you call the shots in our life. Help us to listen, to calm down and be quiet, to hear from you, to get our marching orders from you, and to go out into this world. And we ask, Lord, be with us. Be with this church. Be with our nation on this 9/11. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.